You are now listening to Jess's Lit on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. Welcome to Jess's Lit. Good to see you guys here. It is a great day today here in Vancouver, BC. Hope you guys are taking advantage of the sun. It has gotten a bit cooler this week compared to last week and the week before, which is, I guess, good news because a lot of people I know have been struggling with the heat. I myself seem pretty relaxed and chill. I just like the hot weather back last week, but I do hope the sun comes up a little hotter than this week next week. Today is an exciting day. We have lots to cover in terms of music and not that much music, but poetry. I've collected some poetry samples and collections for you guys to read and kind of dissect roughly. And so, yeah, we'll get right to it. The poetry collection that I have chosen for today, and I guess we'll, you know, kind of bring this on for a bit more episodes since it's such a long collection, is from Chiltern Arts. And it is a festival. Chiltern Arts is a festival of all kinds of arts and literature. I myself did not know about this until today. And so please check that out if you are interested. I'm not quite sure where this is at or located, but it does seem like a very big festival that relates to the arts and literature, music, anything that relates to those things. But for me, I've kind of did my research and found a collection of poems, and it's called the Chiltern Arts 2023. That's basically what the collection, the poetry collection, is called. And I guess they did some sort of competition, a poetry competition, where it invites poets to quote unquote explore how things change over time. From over 120 original entries, these 28 poems have been chosen for the 2023 collection. So, 28 poems, I'm not quite sure what this means because the collection itself is huge. But to me, this collection is just as new as for me as for you guys. And so we will embark on this journey together with the poetry reading. So, like the episodes before where I read the poems of children about refugees and war, it's similar to this or that, but a little different. I think it's random. First of all, it has random topics for poetry. It's not based on one concept or situation, but the ages kind of vary, similar with the one I did before. There's over 18s, under 18s, under 16s, under 12s. And it goes by winners, runner-ups, and shortlisted poems. And so there's a variety of ages here. And so I am excited to read this with you guys. Now, we cannot forget about music. And so in between the readings, I have several songs. And today, I am going to play songs from Melanie Decker. She is a roots musician from Deep Cove, BC. Again, appreciation for our Canadian artists. And so please check her out, Melanie Decker. She has her own website. And it's more of like a country-ish, mellow vibe. It's really perfect for summer, in my opinion. And so we have three songs prepared for you guys. And so get excited for that. But without further ado, I'll just start off with one song from Melanie Decker, and then we will get right into the poetry readings. And so, yeah, the first song is called Worry Gets You Nowhere. Here we go.
Sometimes sleep won't come easy. Your heart says there's no need to talk. divine, and he has said words you can't take back. Your mind can waste your time and throw you down a waterfall. Worry gets you nowhere, gets you nowhere, gets you nowhere, 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 nowhere at all. Worry gets you nowhere, gets you nowhere, gets you nowhere, 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 nowhere at all. Worry gets you nowhere, nowhere at all. Worry gets you nowhere.
You just listened to Worry Gets You Nowhere by Melanie Decker. Now, we'll get right into the poetry readings now. I guess we won't, because the collection is kind of arbitrarily placed in terms of the winning lists and the runner-ups and all that, we'll just have a day, or for this poetry collection reading, I'll just be reading from literally top to down, and so I won't mention what place the individual came. We'll just be appreciating the poetry itself only. So the first poem we have today is called To Everything There Is a Season, from Ross Woolner. One day, there'll be no PE kits on the line. I'll take down the netball post, dig up the lawn for beds of hollyhocks, and lupins, swaths of lavender, lay winding paths of cobblestone, no good for cartwheels, edge them with alyssum, arbietta, and in the corner where the footballs gather, an arbor of wisteria. One day, I'll sit there with a book, pendants of lilac on every side, ignoring the clatter of other people's children coming home from school. One day, I'll hobble back indoors, call someone else to raise the beds to save my cheeky knees, swap cobblestones for level paving slabs. One day, the paths will all be gone and children, not yet born, will race across the new-laid lawn, trampling seedling, foxgroves that forget they do not grow here anymore. Great poem by Ross Woolner. Really gives a sense, in a literal sense, and a literary sense of just the nostalgic feelings that we all have in life. I can definitely relate to this now. And it's pretty cool. A couple weeks ago, I visited my elementary school. It's in Langley. It's called Topham Elementary. We went to go visit there in the afternoon with my dad and my brother. And I kind of felt the feelings that this person was feeling in this poem, and it really got me, you know, to realize that time is precious and time flies really fast. And so I think this person did a really good job in conveying the message of how time just flies and life goes on, and one day you won't be here, and the people who aren't here at the moment will be there when you're not there. And so, great piece of poem from Ross Wollner. The next one is called The Photograph from Bridget Fraser. They say a photograph can comfort absence. Not for me. They say it helps with pain that you're still here. Oh no, you're not. No photograph can fill this emptiness or meet my eyes across a room. There are no arms to wrap around me now, to comfort me in times of stress, to ease my pain. Only that photograph, that wretched thing that is no use to me. So tear it up, they say. Yes, I might do just that. Burn it to ash, a last goodbye, the way you said goodbye to me. Again, a very compelling poem here. Lots of emotion here. And a lot of resentment towards photographs. You know, I'm not really sure. Obviously, I don't know exactly what this person was, you know, going through at the time of writing, but just seems like they have this negative emotion towards photographs, which I can definitely, you know, disagree here and just talk about how photographs express such positivity towards, you know, memories and life in general. But, you know, I guess this person was going through some stuff and experienced a situation or situations where photographs meant nothing to them or to Bridget. And so this is a very interesting poem. I'd like to talk with Bridget to see where she or he came from when writing this. But well written, that's for sure, and definitely got the point across easily for the reader to understand. Now the next one is called For Simon from Jane Shave. Now, I'm guessing this is definitely for Simon, and so we'll give this one a quick read. I remember a field and a shadowed place, and the sun blotted out by your laughing face. You are jumping and singing so happily, and the daisies are almost as high as me, as you are just 6 and I am just 3. I remember the scent of the summer grass and the flints in the woods that were smooth like glass. You were always ahead, calling back to me, "Hurry up, Janie, watch me climb this tree." And you are still 6 and I am still 3. I remember the winters were always cold, and anyone past 30 seemed very old. Our summers were always spent down by the sea, and the days were always so hot and sunny, when you were just 6 and I was just 3. And looking back through the years, it seems to me that was the best time, because you see, Mum and Dad, were our world, and ice cream was free. And our only worry was what we ate for our tea. It's a time when I thought you belonged just to me, because we were still only 6 and still only 3. I remember the day our little brother was born. Mum was away and you were forlorn. I can hear you shouting, "It's a boy, yippee." And suddenly, you were not 2, but 3. There were Mum, Dad, Cy, Jane, and Mikey. And we were growing past 6 and growing past 3. We walked all together. We all walked together throughout your life, through all the good times and through all the strife. And I married a husband, and you married, well, wives. And sometimes I've thought, how can it be that you've grown older than 6 and I've grown older than 3? We have journeyed together down all these years, through all the laughter and through all the tears. Now I see you walking away from me, and I don't quite understand how that can be, but I love you enough to say, go, now you're free. I'm the last who remembers how it used to be, when you were my hero and seemed as tall as a tree, and I will always keep a place deep inside of me where you are still 6 and I am still 3. What an amazing poem, For Simon. Now, this is literally prose. It's just, It's literally a story, a life story, of a person writing to Simon, just talking about how Simon changed throughout the lives, or I guess how Simon changed throughout his or her life, and the writer's perspective. And it was just a very, very interesting and well put together poem. Great job. Very emotional too. I myself have two brothers as well, and every year that goes by, I think about what this person was thinking about. You know, just how fast time flies, and just the differences of the individuals as they age, and also looking at my parents and grandparents, you know, the amount of change that occurs when a human or anything just ages throughout time is, you know, happy to see and also very sad to see at times. But a really well put poem by Jane Shave. Our next one is called Once I Die. Now I'm getting a sense of where these poems are kind of going. You know, it's kind of early to judge on the concepts of each poem as a whole yet, because I've only read a couple. But so far, it's very emotional and very, I guess, nostalgic in a way. So I'm liking it, though. The next poem is called Once I Die, and this is written by Des Coleman. I turned 5 just yesterday, and I've been an adult for years. I still sleep in my mom's bed, and we walk only twice a week. I turn 14 tomorrow. I have photos of people I've forgotten. My weeks pass as a slow blur, and it's been years since I was young. I'm still just a child, and I never got to be one. I want to be given all the answers, but I can solve it myself. I'm still so scared of change, but I hate for things to stay the same. I'll never grow up, and I've been old since I was dreaming. Again, short but very impactful poem, just talking about a person reflecting on him or herself, about their emotional state, physical state, and just their dreams. Well-written poem. Next one is called Her Going from John Harvey. Thomas Nash, the Elizabethan poem, in brackets, probably a pirate and a politician, for weren't they all? Using language that was new coined, mint furnace hot, so raw fresh, a misspelling could mutate to startling metaphor, wrote, brightness falls from the air. Your absence shocked the line awake, honing its old cutting edge, to dissect my new discovered state, my time of pestilence, perhaps. Now, this kind of deviated from what we've been reading before, but it is very emotional, of course, but it has more of an upbeat type, if you know what I mean. It's more of a hey instead of a hey. I know that was a very bad example, but just had more of a fire to it. But yeah, just talking about how the metaphor brightness falls from the air, shocks the line awake to dissect my new discovered state, my time of pestilence, perhaps. An interesting poem by John Harvey. Next one is called At the Going Down of the Sun by Mary Mulet. The daily order of the day that smoke-filled numbs its shaky breath. We stand like waxwork dummies to honor those who gave their souls. And now speckled poppies, blood red, dance and waver with delight in winter's chill. Summer grew tired of hiding her forgotten shoulders, marching tirelessly on, and then the fervent flurry of odd autumn angst. Then the monarchy laying wreaths with cozy coats and wary arms that hide an anxious past. And when the clock is cheerfully chimed, we will assume our daily dusting down. Nothing will ever change. A compelling poem by Mary Mulet. Now, we've read several poems. So far, they are really great. I'm having a good time reading and kind of talking over what the poems potentially mean. But we have some music to be played. And so I will play one song from Melanie Decker again, and then we will continue on with ads right after. So I will see you guys after this song. It is called Stare at the Rain, and then go right to the ads after. We'll be back. Here we go.
Try not to tremble when
I'm not sure if I put this in the right key. Nope. That's the man's key.
You're just testing me, aren't you? See if I can transpose in my head while we play.
He is a composer, arranger.
No prob.
Yeah, testing 1, 2, 3.
I try not to tremble when I hear your name. I keep hoping I'm stronger. You won't get me this way. I can't remember why we said goodbye. Photos confuse me. I wanna say I don't cry, but I do. I miss you. I wonder what you're up to, if you still look the same. I wonder, do you think about me when you stare at the rain? We met early September in a place meant for me. Now I can't go by there without savoring memories. We looked so sweet, some said it won't last. We proved them wrong. I can't live in the past, but I do. I miss you. I wonder what you're up to, if you still look the same. I wonder, do you think about me when you stare at the rain? Will the wind blow away all that went wrong? Will I get lost in a fog? Keep singing this song, although I miss you. I wonder what you're up to, if you still look the same. I wonder
Pride got you down? Brace yourself for Vancouver's Shamefest 2024. Shamefest is a burning effigy of queer failure and the outsider artistic community terrorizing the downtown east side. From August 1st to August 5th, Shamefest has 8 dehumanizing live music and artistic events that will cost you less money than attending just one of the corporate Pride parties. Because we know you're broke. Embrace shame and purchase tickets now at heroinmart.com/products/shamefest2024. heroinmart.com/products/shame-fest-2024. We'll see you at Shamefest.
Maybe I'm just a medic, pixie, pacifist.
Summer Light is back, baby. On August 10th, spend the day with 14 local Vancouver acts, headlined by the Golden Age of Wrestling and actors. This year, you can attend your favorite indie music festival with no cost whatsoever. That's right, admission is free. In the East Side's very own Strathcona neighborhood, Summerlight is here to give new artists a chance to bring vibrancy to a part of Vancouver that so many artists call home. Summerlight Festival is brought to you by Light Organ Records. We can't wait to see you on August 10th.
It's Nardwar, the human serviette, and you're listening to Unseated Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM.
We have been called the Indians.
Justified in opening fire that day. Amy Allen has more.
The virus took on many shapes. The bear, the elk, the antelope.
Hosted by the Indigenous Collective of CITR 101.9 FM, Unseated Airwaves unveils the hidden pages of Indigenous history and contemporary existence. We are back and looking for passionate folks to contribute to the process of putting together our weekly radio show. Our community centers Indigenous joy, excellence, and current issues. Friends and allies are welcome. No experience is necessary. Come learn with us. Our Instagram is Unseated Airwaves, and that's the best way to keep up with us. If you're interested in getting involved or you have any questions, email me, indigenouscollective@citr.ca.
You are invited to volunteer for Swissessism Garden. Get away from the rat race. Get back to the land. Heal. Reconnect with yourself. Touch grass. Find a quiet place among the plants and find a quiet place inside yourself. Check us out on Facebook at Indigenous Garden UBC Farm or visit the Swissessism Indigenous Garden located at UBC Farm just off of Ross Road.
Welcome back to Jess is Lit. That was some ads, PSAs, and some show promos. And the song was called Stare at the Rain. Now, without wasting more time, we will get straight to more poetry readings. Please let me know, again, I've been mentioning this many, many times, if you guys have any recommendations or, you know, just tips or... not tips, but if you guys have recommendations on songs, you know, poems, whatever it may be that relates to literature, and even if it doesn't, even if it has nothing to do with literature, but is something appropriate that you guys want me to talk about and kind of go over, please let me know. You can always email me at leejess, L-E-E-J-E-S-S, 2002 at gmail.com, or just text it to me at 604-512-0020. But yeah, just those two things is my contact info. And so please, if you guys have any recommendations or things you want me to kind of cover or go over or play, maybe can be songs, feel free to let me know. I will always be open to try different things. But yeah, our next poem is Time Slip. And this is from Elizabeth Rada, or Rhoda. There have been a few days like this before, when the sky is see-through blue and trees are still, when I can stare and stare into the haze until this time becomes all time before and since, until I can stretch to the past with one hand and into the future with the other, feel my body linking into the chain a moving, writhing chord of creation and recreation. Slippery colors like an elusive rainbow, caught between sun and rain, now fading, now dazzling. Painfully stretching and stretching, I become a thin, shimmering membrane, wrapped around the earth, a spiritual skin, essence etched over the universe. Then, the past is no memory, the future no expectation. Everything is one endless, repeating, reverberating echo, endless experience, light imprinted on universal darkness, filling the unbearable emptiness. Great poem by Elizabeth. Really philosophical, in a sense, if you think about it. Just really has this deep sense of imagery here of, for example, the see-through blue, staring right into the haze until this time becomes all time before and since was a really cool line I liked. And just really, again, emotional with a sense of hope and positivity here. It was a really cool poem to read. The next one is called Beaches from Cecilia Rose. I sit above the beach as others find their way along the stony margins, old and young taking their moments, transported for a time to some other beach by the wash of waves and the salty breeze. An old man in sandals, fat with beers, bends to find a boyhood stone and sends it skimming over the water. A woman in high heels retrieves one shell from millions and does not let it fall again. A bride and groom pose, are photographed forever, and are gone into the future. There are so many beaches here at once that it cannot be grasped like the Tao. A couple with rucksacks stare at one spot in the flotsam A couple with rucksacks stare at one spot in the flotsam as though it held all the answers. At last I stand, bones aching, remember running, laughing, hand in hand. You know, I think as the poems go on or proceed on, it's getting a bit philosophical and just more, I guess, metaphysical, I think, if that's the right word to use. It's kind of becoming more of a spiritual sense of poetry, which I really like. I like to read things that kind of spread out into the bigger picture of non-reality, and so I think it's getting more interesting and interesting as the poems go on. The next one is called Half-Knitted Scarf from Martha Jack Fraser, and here it gives her or him the age, age 15, 17. The half-knitted scarf sits tucked in the corner, safe under its coat of dust, knowing it will be one day be completed, although the chapter should not have ended so many pages ago. It's stretched like cling film all across leftovers you won't eat. Next year, one cold morning, you will be somewhere with nothing to do, stroking the missed stitch, touching the tassels like some sort of religion. To you, it might be. The clock ticks forward, unnoticed, the days blur together as you grew one line at a time. Now again, like the poems we read in the first half, before the ads, it is mentioning the notion of time and how time flies quicker than you'd expect and just how you would be after a significant amount of time passes, which is really interesting. I haven't really read poems like this in a long time, so it's kind of cool to get together here and read this with you guys together and, you know, kind of remind you that time is always ticking, and so never waste it. Time is the most precious thing, in my opinion, and it tops money. And so, as Martha mentioned, the clock ticks forward unnoticed, which is really important to me. I think a lot of people just do not notice the time ticking. The days blur together as you grew one line at a time. So as time flies, you grow inevitably, and then sometime along your life, it'll end. And so, yeah, just a reminder that time always ticks, and to never waste your time and to use it to your best. The next one is called Mother's Touch from Kusi Manik, age 17. Again, we will give this one a read. The hand on her bump as the realization dawns, the acknowledgement of a splendid miracle, the eagerness to catch her kicking self, what she considers her life's very pinnacle. The cry of relief as her skin touches yours, the gentle stroke of hair as she admires, the placing of her finger on your delicate nose, her love blazing through a burning fire. The protection she offers as you climb up the staircase, the steps, the splinters, and your tripping stride, the staircase that we fear not to call life, her desperation to keep you starry-eyed, starry-eyed. The hand on your shoulder as you blow out every candle, the same comfort year after year, the birthdays at 3, at 11, at 40, her tenderness never fails to appear. The world crashing down and craving for her hug, the solace found in her arms, the overflowing yet endless well of affection, wishing too cannot beat these charms. The reluctant but hopeful push out to school, the luck given as you first learn to drive, the tremble in her voice as she waves you goodbye, a developed bee parting from the queen's hive, the whisper in your ear as you stand at the altar, the securing of your dress just before, the toll that time's taken on this connection of two, ever-changing yet loving forevermore, the tear forming in her eye as you reveal your secret, the same journey beginning, but of yours, the hand on your bump, as the realization dawns, her love pursues, as her daughter matures. Again, a really well-written poem, really goes into deep depth of a person's realization, the acknowledgement of, I guess, self-realization and the love for others, which I found really interesting here. And it was written kind of like a story, or it could also be seen as like a statement, but really well written. Again, easy to really understand. You know, the more I read poems, or the more I read, you know, books, although there are some poems or books that are just really dense with information and it really takes a long time to kind of understand, you know, for example, philosophy books, or just, I guess, poets that just go very deep with information and metaphors that you just, after reading it 10 times, you're still like, oh, what does this mean? Although there's a beauty to that, I always prefer to read books that just kind of come to you at once with, I guess, easier information. But again, no information, in my opinion, is easy. And so even if it just comes to you at once, if you read it more and more, you start to develop a more deeper and denser interpretation of that. And so although there is a beauty of just really hard, densely written poetry and books with many different sorts of literary devices, there is a beauty to, on the contrary, there is a beauty to just reading poems or books that just come right to you, that have information inside that are conveyed easily for the reader or audience to understand. And so, but again, I'm mentioning this because some people may misunderstand. That does not mean that the information given inside a piece has not been thoroughly thought. That is never the case. And it is just the stylistic differences of authors and poets. And so please keep that in mind. But for me personally, I just have a much more fun time, I guess, reading poems or books that just kind of get to you right when you read them. And then I just kind of go on from there and read more and more and then interpret different meanings that I... Because no matter how easy a poem or book is, you always miss information. And so you just have to keep reading it and reading it and reading it. And then every interpretation of it will, I guess, very, very slightly change the more you read it. And so these poems, you know, I guess it's because it's been written by children and teenagers, are very easily approachable and easily understood by me, and I hope for all of you guys who are listening. But we definitely are going to bring out some poems that are very dense and hard to understand. But just for the fun of it, I will bring those out in future episodes, so tune into those. But yeah, I just kind of went on a rant about this, but these poems that we've been reading so far are very, very easily approachable and easy to understand in a sense. But again, like I mentioned before, if you read it more and more, the more complex it becomes. But a good poem from Kushi Manik. Our next poem is called Ode to the World's End, from Jasmine Baghal, age 16. I stand alone on the dead ground, wondering why I survived and you didn't. I stand alone on the hills as the skeletons reached for me but were held back by the passage of time. Their hands forever reached out, yearning for safety that their bones ache for. As the world ended, all I did was hide. I hid as everyone else tried to stop it, or spend the last few moments looking for happiness in misery. I hid and that saved me, and when I emerged, I was free. I was free and everyone else became a shell of themselves. I am free and you are not. I stand alone victorious on the dead ground. Now, this, just by kind of, you know, of course, when I read this, it is very broadly read. You know, I'm not trying to go deep inside every word here. If I did, then we can literally talk about one poem for longer than my duration of my show. And so just by the rough looks of it, I can kind of give you guys two things here. Now, Ode to the World's End, she is definitely celebrating this survival of herself. As you look at the last line, it says, I stand alone, victorious on the dead ground. Now, there is a sense of triumph here that she is the only one standing. And on the dead ground, which means everyone else is dead. So she is alone that survived. And if you look at the middle passages or stanzas, she's alive because she hid. Now, and so that kind of implies that everyone else who died did not hide. So, I'm not sure if you guys know where I'm trying to go here, but is it a good thing to hide? In a metaphorical sense, is it a good thing to hide? Or is it not a good thing to hide? And in Jasmine's case, it was a good thing to hide. Now, if you just look at the context here, just the words alone, hiding is the way to go, because you'll be the only one who survives. But if you also look at it in a different way, everyone else took the risk of not hiding and in a way expressing themselves. And, you know, I'm not saying Jasmine did, but the writer here was implying that the survivor was the one who hid and kind of compressed all her expressions and hid away from the world, which I guess did her the good here. But, you know, maybe I'm thinking a bit too much here, but it gives me these two little things that we can, you know, possibly go over in the future, or you guys could just think about it on your own. But yeah, there's a bit of a paradox here, you know, hiding, not expressing oneself, but winning because everyone else is dead. And so and everyone else expressed themselves to the best of their capabilities. And that is my assumption. and she did not. So there's a bit of a mix up here, a mix and match, but you know, that's the beauty of poetry. And so a really well-written poem, of course. And so, yeah, that was Ode to the World's End by Jasmine. Now, we have already came to close to the end here. And so we cannot forget about our last song from Melanie Decker. And so without further ado, here we go. This is called What a Fool I Am, which kind of relates to the last poem we read. And so, you know, was she a fool for hiding and not dying? Or was she a fool, or was everyone else a fool for expressing themselves and dying? You know, that's kind of funny to me, how the last song is What a Fool I Am. Which part do you think is the fool? The person who expresses themselves and dies, or the person who doesn't and just hides away but survives alone? That is up to you guys to be the judge. But here we go. Melanie Decker, What a Fool I Am. Here we go.
What a fool.
Just finished listening to Melanie Decker's What a Fool I Am. But unfortunately, the Ode to the World's End was our last poem of the day. Please let me know If you guys enjoyed today's poetry collection reading, I'll be happy to go over these for our future episodes. And yeah, please check out Melanie Decker as well. She is a phenomenal artist based in Deep Cove, BC. And she does concerts in Vancouver as well, quite a bit. And so check her out if you guys are interested. Thank you again for joining Jess's Lit. It is a beautiful outside here in Vancouver, BC. Take advantage of all the sun you can get. It's not as hot as last week, and so I think people have a much better time outside without being too hot and just sweaty all the time. And so have a great evening. Have a great rest of your week. I will see you again on Thursday, actually. I have a fill-in spot in 2 days from now at 2 p.m., and so please check that out. I will see you guys on Thursday. Have a great rest of the afternoon. Thank you all. Bye-bye.